A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In the wilderness, John proclaimed a baptism of repentance. As the people were filled with expectation and all the questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Today, as we follow the church calendar, we celebrate the baptism of Christ. I'd like to begin by sharing a little bit of my own story when it comes to baptism. I stand before you today as someone who is so holy, or perhaps sinful, you decide, that I've been baptized not once, but twice. Some Anglicans that may make very nervous at this point. I was christened as a baby by my parents, who didn't really have a live and real faith, in a church that I later discovered was somewhat dodgy theologically, we might say. I think they had slight issues with the Trinity, which is a bad thing. And later on, when I was coming to train for ordination, the bishops and the powers that be worked out that there's the slight possibility that I had not been baptized in a kosher way. So they were a little bit nervous about ordaining me. And so I was requested to be conditionally re-baptized, or baptized, whatever they call it. And so I attended a service. It was all quite random. I kind of didn't know anyone else who was there. I had to just fit in with the bishop, and when he was touring around baptizing people at churches, and he conditionally baptized me so that I was definitely baptized before I was ordained. So rest assured, everyone, if you were losing sleep over this, I have definitely been baptized at least once, if not twice. Can anyone beat me? Has anyone here been baptized three times? Wonderful. So I'm as holy or as sinful as anyone else here. You make up your own mind. So we're thinking about baptism, the baptism of Jesus this morning. I want to ask three questions as we think about the baptism of Jesus. Firstly, what is baptism's background? Secondly, why does Jesus want to be baptized? And thirdly, what is God doing in Jesus through baptism? So what is baptism's background? I hope this isn't too much of a bombshell for any of you, but neither John the Baptist nor Jesus invented baptism. Neither John the Baptist nor Jesus invented baptism. Baptism was a thing in the Jewish tradition out of which John the Baptist and Jesus come from, long before Jesus or John the Baptist rocked up on the scene. In fact, baptism is a little bit like Holy Communion that we'll be celebrating together later. It has its roots in the Jewish traditions, and Jesus comes along and invests the act of baptism with new meaning. So we have a baptistry, a baptism pool in which we would dunk people in if we were doing baptisms by full immersion. The Jewish people had things called mikveh baths, and it was mikveh baths in which people would have undergone the rite of baptism, although they would have called it various different things, before the time of John the Baptist or Jesus. Here are a few reasons why people were baptized at the time of John the Baptist. Firstly, people were baptized in order to convert from being a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, into the Jewish community. So if you were a God-fearing non-Jewish person, a Gentile, and you really wanted to be included in the covenant people of God, Israel, and the Jewish people, you might undergo the rite of baptism in a mikveh bath to convert to Judaism. People were sometimes baptized into a particular sect or movement within Judaism. So if there was a particular tradition that you wanted to identify with, or perhaps it's thought even particular teachings of a particular rabbi that you wanted to live under, people were sometimes baptized into that sect or movement. Thirdly, people were baptized as a ceremonial act of cleansing, often in preparation for worship and making a sacrifice at the temple. So people were baptized to convert to Judaism for ceremonial cleansing and to be initiated into a new movement. And it's into this context that John the Baptist rocks up on the scene, slightly odd character, probably smelt badly, very bad dress sense, was quite a serious guy, had lived his whole life kind of in the wilderness, probably in quite a separate sect of Judaism called the Essenes, who were very serious, conservative Jewish people, very devout Jewish people. It's into this context that John the Baptist comes along and he preaches a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins, which at that time would have been very controversial for someone to offer forgiveness of sins and preach repentance outside of the context of the traditional formal temple cultic system. So there's a little bit of background to baptism, which lays the scene for John the Baptist and eventually Jesus in the scene that we're going to look at. So I want to remind us of this passage as we think about the baptism of Jesus. These are the words of Luke 3, verses 21 and 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Have any of you ever read the Gospels, maybe read the account of Jesus' baptism as you've been reading a Gospel in your own quiet time? Have you ever, as you've read this story, thought, this seems a little bit odd? Why is Jesus choosing to be baptized? Is Jesus repenting of his sin, inviting Jesus into his life, and committing to live a life as part of the church? No. He's not, in case that had baffled any of you. So why does Jesus want to be baptized? Firstly, I want to suggest Jesus wants to be baptized in order to humbly identify with sinful humanity. So John the Baptist is preaching repentance and forgiveness and inviting people to be baptized. And Jesus, in an incredible display of humility, chooses to identify with everyone else around him who's full of sin, like I am and like all of us are. He chooses to identify with them and submit to the rite of baptism. Isn't that amazing, the humility of Jesus? If I was Jesus, which thankfully for all of us, I'm not, and I'm further away from being like Jesus than I would like to be. If I was Jesus, I would have got into the waters of the Jordan. I'd have gone up to John the Baptist. I'd have tapped him on the shoulder and I'd have said, "Cheers, John, you've done the best you can. I'm here now, I'll take over. Thanks for coming." I'd have sent John the Baptist away and I'd have taken over. But isn't it incredibly humble of Jesus that he chooses voluntarily to submit to baptism, to be baptized by John the Baptist. Secondly, Jesus is baptized in order to affirm the ministry of John the Baptist. So Jesus submitting to the baptism of John, he's affirming John the Baptist's ministry. And John the Baptist is a really significant character, actually, in all four of the Gospels. John comes along and he preaches to the people of Israel a really powerful message. First of all, he critiques religious hypocrisy. One of his sermons, he seems to begin by describing his audience as a brood of vipers. Okay, he was that sort of character. He was that sort of preacher. If you think sometimes Will and I can get a bit serious, you haven't seen anything compared to John the Baptist. I don't think either of us have ever called this lot a brood of vipers. So he comes along and he critiques religious hypocrisy. Secondly, he warns of impending judgment. He says, one day each one of you is going to have to give an account of your life before the Lord, and you need to be right with him. You need to have your sins forgiven and to have repented. And thirdly, he preaches with real expectation about the imminent arrival onto the scene of history of the Messiah that God had promised the prophets of long ago. And so when Jesus submits to being baptized by John, he's affirming the ministry of John the Baptist. He's affirming his preaching and saying all this stuff that John the Baptist is preaching about, it's finding its fulfillment in me. Thirdly, to fulfill all righteousness. Matthew's gospel, which gives the fullest account of the baptism of Jesus, has this really interesting explanation that Jesus gives when John the Baptist essentially tries to put him off being baptized. He says, I'm not worthy, you don't want to be baptized by me, your baptism's going to be even more powerful than mine. Jesus says, no, I need to be baptized, or I choose to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. And as I read that verse and I've been pondering this this week, I found myself thinking, what on earth does this phrase mean? Many of you will have read this phrase as you've read the Gospels in your own time. It's the sort of phrase that you just gloss over when you're reading the Bible. But if you actually have to think through it, it raises all sorts of questions. What on earth does it mean for Jesus to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness? And I was delighted to discover that I'm not the only one who seems to not have a clue what that actually means. Many of the scholars and the commentators that I've read and looked into all seem to be debating what Jesus is referring to in this phrase when he says he needs to fulfill all righteousness. So I'm going to share with you the most convincing opinion that I have found this week, and you can make of it what you will. Okay, so when a high priest, if you think about the Old Testament system of the temple and sacrifices, when a high priest, a Levitical high priest, began his ministry in the temple, normally at around the age 30, interestingly, which probably would have been the same age as Jesus in this passage, he would have gone through a rite similar to baptism. He would have been ceremonially cleansed in water to prepare him for his ministry as a high priest. And so some commentators think that one of the reasons Jesus chooses to be baptized is to say that he is the fulfillment of the whole priestly system, that he is going to be the great high priest who is the mediator between God and humanity. Jesus is going to be the one who is both the priest and the sacrifice, the fulfillment of the whole temple system. Fourthly, I think Jesus is baptized in order to prophetically perform the purpose of his life. He's baptized to prophetically perform the purpose of his life. So this is how we, part of how we explain to baptism candidates the significance of baptism, certainly by immersion. When Jesus is baptized, he would have fallen backwards, been immersed in the water, and then risen out of the waters. And I think he's prophetically enacting his death, his descent into the grave, and then his resurrection, his rising again to new life. There's a prophetic enactment of the purpose of his life. He's saying, I am going to be the Messiah that you long for. The one who's going to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins and 3 days later rise to new life so that each one of us can have eternal life as we place our trust in the resurrected Jesus. So those are a few thoughts on why Jesus wanted to be baptized. But I also want to ask the question, what is God doing in Jesus through baptism? What is God doing in Jesus through baptism? And I ask this question because I think I think God does similar things in each one of us as we pass through the waters of baptism. And if you haven't been baptized, there's an opportunity in just a few weeks on the 3rd of February. We're going to have a baptism service in the evening. If any of you want to be baptized who haven't, please do come and speak to us. I want to suggest that what God is doing in Jesus at his baptism, he does to each one of us at our baptism in a similar way. None of us is called to die on a cross for the forgiveness of sins. But some of the things God is doing in Jesus, I think he does for each of us. So firstly, God is affirming Jesus' identity. Luke 3 verse 22, the Holy Spirit descends upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice comes from heaven and says this, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." Isn't this amazing that these are God the Father's words over his son, Jesus Christ? I wonder for you, as you imagine God, as you imagine God in heaven watching our lives, what words do you imagine God is speaking over you? Are they words of judgment and condemnation? Or are they words of life and gospel like this, that you are his son and daughter who he loves, with whom he is well pleased? I want to suggest to us that for those of us who are in Christ, for those of us that have a relationship with the Father through the Son, that's what God speaks over us, that we are his sons and his daughters, who he loves, with whom he is well pleased. That's the heart of the gospel. Our culture, the world around us, says in order to find your identity, you need to go inside yourself and create your own identity. Find your true self and then learn to express it and strongly encourage the world to accept you as you really are. But the gospel says your identity is found in relation to God, who created you in his image to live as his beloved son or daughter. I know where I'd rather find my identity. Secondly, God is empowering Jesus with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descends upon him in bodily form like a dove. What we need to remember at this point is that Jesus is fully human and fully God. But Jesus chooses to set aside some of his divine attributes in order to live a fully human life. So Jesus Christ, as much as any one of us here, needs the power of the Holy Spirit in order to live a life of purpose and power for God. We need to really understand that Jesus wasn't just playing at being human. He actually was fully human. And Jesus is the only example of someone who lived a life fully open to the purposes of God in his life. He lived the only life fully open to the power of the Spirit, that Jesus ministers out of full humanity. So when he's preaching and he's healing people, he's doing that as a human being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that is available to each one of us if we would ask God to empower our lives and ministries. I wonder how you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Thirdly, God is commissioning Jesus for ministry. Luke 3 verses 22 and 23. Voice comes from heaven, "You're my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And then immediately after the section in Luke's gospel where we see the account of the baptism, this is what Luke says. "Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry." So there's this close connection between baptism and God's commissioning of Jesus to enter into public ministry. So before baptism, there were no great sermons, no sick being healed, no dead people being raised. It was his baptism that it was his commissioning for ministry, to enter into God's service in a new and special way. And I want to suggest exactly the same is true for each one of us, that it's at our baptism that we were commissioned by God to ministry. So what I'm saying is, you don't need one of these. You don't need this to minister for God, to serve him, to live a life trying to lead others to him. You don't need one of these to pray for the sick and to see God do incredible things in and through you in the world today. If you've been baptized, if you're in Christ, then God calls you to serve him in ministry. Do we get that? Baptism is your commissioning to ministry. And fourthly, and I will end with this, God is strengthening Jesus for times of testing. In the Gospels, immediately after his baptism, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Luke 4, verse 1. This is in the next chapter after his baptism. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus is immediately led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. Difficult times, challenging times, times of temptation, times of pain are a normal part of the Christian life. Please don't think if you're a good Christian, you will never go through difficult, painful, challenging times. That's not a promise you will find anywhere in Scripture. In fact, quite the opposite is promised for those who will courageously follow Jesus with their lives. Each one of us needs to receive the Holy Spirit and to find our identities in Jesus as a beloved son and daughter of the Father in order to endure and persevere through the difficult, painful, challenging times each one of us will face in our lives. I wonder how God is leading you through a time of pain and challenge at the moment. So, if you've been baptized, may you know your identity is found in Christ. If you've been baptized, may you know the joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized, may you know that you have been commissioned to serve Jesus in ministry. And if you've been baptized, may you know the strength of God's presence as you walk through times of testing. And if you've never been baptized, would you like to be? It's never too late to be welcomed into the family of God through the waters of baptism. Amen.